Well, this morning we are celebrating the resurrection. It's a glorious day. I have a friend who used to live here in Lewisburg, and now he lives in South Carolina. And it seems like everybody's moving to the Carolinas, you know, either North Carolina or South Carolina. Anyway, he always kids me at Christmas and at resurrection time, because he tells me he doesn't see how I can talk about something everybody knows everything about. He says, how can you come up with something new for celebrating these special days in the church? And I say, well, I don't want to come up with something new. What I want to do is make us appreciate what we already know. Most people who come to church on a day like this, Resurrection Day, or what some people call Easter, I try to avoid that word, but I try to say Resurrection Day instead, or for Christmas, most of us know the story. We may not believe it, we may believe it. A lot of people who go to church don't, when it really comes down to it. They say it's a nice story, but they don't really believe it happened, and it doesn't matter, because as long as we all get along with each other and we do good things for others, that's all that really matters. But I believe that the story is true, and I also believe, along with Paul, that if it's not true, if I didn't believe it, why would I be here? Because there's so many other things I could be doing with my life. But because it's true, it sort of has taken over my life. I'd like to share a couple of lessons from the Bible to get us thinking this morning, and then just say a few words about this day and what it can mean for us before we join together in celebrating communion. I'd like to begin with the reading of the resurrection story from the Gospel of John, the first 8 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen cloth lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. John tells us that these two disciples, whom we regard to be Peter and John being the other disciple, didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And one of the things we notice about the story of this Sunday in scripture is there's a question here. I'm not sure who is more amazed at the events as they unfold. The disciples and the women are certainly amazed. The last thing Mary Magdalene expected to see when she went to that garden early in the morning on the first day of the week was to see the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. That's the last thing she expected. The last thing the disciples expected was to have some women coming to them saying, "Jesus is gone from the tomb." Some of the women said he was risen. Some of the women said he's gone. We don't know where he is. Some of the women didn't say anything. They were too confused. And the disciples, when they heard the news, they were surprised. They didn't know what to make of it. Peter and John run to the tomb, and when they run into the tomb, they still don't know what to make of it. When they come out of the tomb, it begins to dawn on them. Hey, maybe Jesus wasn't kidding when he said on the third day he would rise. The rest of the disciples, though, they still don't believe. That evening, Jesus appears before them in a room that's locked. He gets in somehow and stands in the midst of them. They're amazed. How'd he get here? How'd he get here? Who is he? What's he doing? Is it a ghost? They're amazed. They're confused. Thomas isn't with them. A week later, he is with them. He says, I won't believe unless I touch the wounds myself. Jesus appears. He says, well, Thomas, you wanted to. There it is. Thomas is amazed. He's confused. They're all amazed. Jesus is risen. But there's one other person who's amazed. Through this whole Sunday morning, afternoon, and evening, there's one other person who's amazed, and that's Jesus. And I think he's more amazed than any of them. He says to them, well, wait a minute. Why are you so surprised? Didn't I tell you on at least three separate occasions that I would be handed over to the authorities, that I would be mistreated, that I'd be crucified, and 3 days later I would rise again? Didn't I tell you that? You're all students of the scriptures. You've studied them all your lives. I've taught them to you. Don't you realize the scripture said it had to be this way? You remember the story from the Gospel of Luke when two disciples are on their way to Emmaus, a little town outside Jerusalem, and on the way Jesus meets up with them, but they don't know it's Jesus. And they're real sad, and they're talking about events in Jerusalem, and Jesus comes up and he says, oh, what are you talking about? Why are you so sad? And they just stand there like this. Oh, are you the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard the news? Well, what news? What about Jesus of Nazareth, a great prophet? We thought he was going to be the coming king of Israel. They crucified him 3 days ago. Then the strangest thing, this morning some of the women came and said that he was risen. And even a couple of the disciples said they went to the tomb and it was empty, but we don't understand what it means. And then Jesus says again, how can you be so dense? I thought you were following this guy. I thought you believed in him. I thought you regarded him as the Messiah. Don't you know what the scripture says about the Messiah? That he must suffer in order to enter his kingdom? And that after suffering he would die and 3 days later would rise again? It's all there. So why are you so sad? You should be happy. You should be rejoicing. Because everything is working exactly according to what he said it would. They start thinking, well, what do you mean? We don't understand. So Luke says that beginning with Moses and going on to the prophets, Jesus demonstrated to them from the scriptures how the Messiah first had to suffer and then be killed and then 3 days later rise again. Jesus could not understand, humanly speaking, Jesus could not understand how someone could be devoted to the study of the scripture, could believe that the Messiah was coming, could believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and yet feel defeated because Jesus had died on the cross. Rather than feel defeated, they should be celebrating. And eventually they did. You see, the cross turns everything inside out, upside down. It was even said of the disciples, Peter and Paul and the rest, oh, these are the men that are turning the world upside down with their teaching. In his letter to the Christians at Corinth, his second letter, Paul talks about what it means to believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. He says this, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Christians, through their faith in a risen Lord and Savior, are supposed to be totally transformed. We are a new creation. And yet, so often, we live in the shadow of the old creation. Read an article the other day in a magazine. Asked a group of people what they thought of certain people in the news. Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, several others. George Clooney, I don't know how they came up with the names, but what they discovered was that whether they asked a person who claimed to be a Christian or a person who did not claim to be a Christian, the opinion really wasn't any different between one and the other. In fact, it was almost exactly the same. Other pollsters have discovered this same truth in other circumstances. For example, in terms of the way we live our lives. In America, there's basically no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. In terms of how much is given to charity, there's basically no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. In terms of how we spend our leisure time, there's basically no difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. In terms of our entertainments, what we watch on television or what movies we watch, basically no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. In terms of dependence on medication, there's basically no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. I think this is something that would amaze Jesus if he were with us today, which we believe that he is. How can there be no difference between one person and another when this person has in their hearts a faith in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and this person has no reason to hope? How can there be no difference? People look at Resurrection Day and they say that the amazing thing about Resurrection Day is this idea that some Christians have that Jesus was raised from the dead and is living physically, risen from the dead, not just spiritually, but physically, his body raised from the dead. And he has now passed through death and will never die again. Jesus says that's not the amazing thing about this day. After all, isn't he God, the Son of God? The amazing thing about this day is that through faith in this person who was raised from the dead, we can become a new creation. What is celebrated today by heaven is not the resurrection of Jesus, which is something they knew all along would take place. What is celebrated in heaven is that through that resurrection, the power of God is made available to us. We no longer need to live trapped inside a mortal body that's doomed to die. We no longer are limited by a vision that can only see from the cradle to the grave. We see a whole dimension unfolding before us. We see a whole wealth of tools that God gives to us for living our lives to enable us to live a victorious life while we wait for the return of this one whom we claim is risen from the dead. I guess it seems to me that the difference between a believer who has really caught on to the message of the empty tomb and a believer who is just going through the motions is like the difference between the old dollar coins that they used to make and the new dollar coin that they're making now. Have you seen the new $1 coin? This is a George Washington dollar coin. Next one that'll come out will be John Adams, and so on through the presidents. They're doing with the dollar coin and the presidents what the quarters were doing for the various states. Well, if you take a look at the old dollar coin, this is an old one. This is 1896. This is a Liberty dollar called a Morgan dollar. And it's got a picture on the front. That's certainly not George Washington. Maybe Mrs. Washington, I don't know. It says, E pluribus unum in the date. And then on the back, it says, United States of America, $1. And then right across the top of the eagle, it says, In God We Trust. The new dollar coins say nothing on them except the name of the president, the number, like first president, second president, so forth, and the years of his term in office, and on the back it says United States of America. If you look real close along the rim, if you get out a magnifying glass, and even that wouldn't do it for me, but if you have better eyes than I do and you look real close, it says E pluribus unum, In God We Trust, 2007 on the rim of the coin. And to me, these two coins really do represent the difference between the Christian who's been transformed by the message of Resurrection Day and the Christian who has heard the message but hasn't made it their own. For the one, all you have to do is look at it. God is obvious. Right there it is, right in front of you. In God we trust. The other one, well, it may be there, but you really have to look for it. And so in some people who have really understood the message, their lives are so transformed by the resurrection. One look at them and you know there's something different about this person. While others still are struggling with the same things everybody else is struggling with, they have the answer, but they have not processed the answer, and so the answer does them no good. They're like the disciples who, even after the resurrection of Jesus, are sitting around looking at each other and saying, well, what do we do now? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in all of history. It's an event that's intended to transform the life of everyone who takes it seriously. We claim to take it seriously. Paul says it is that resurrection that defines who we are. It gives us a whole new outlook on life. It gives us a whole set of tools not available to those who do not believe. Jesus was risen from the dead. Anyone who looks at it seriously with an open mind cannot escape the conclusion that there is as much historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ as there is for the very fact that Julius Caesar ever even lived. The evidence of history is solid and irrefutable. The miracle of Easter is not so much that Jesus is risen. The miracle of Resurrection Day is that resurrection power that raised him from the dead is available to you and to me to transform us from the inside out, to change our way of looking at our life and the situation in which we live, to help us look at it from a resurrection perspective, to help us see the possibilities that God has planted within us, to not be daunted by circumstance, to not be turned away by the negative things that we see. But to believe that God has a purpose for my life, and that the closer I get in fellowship to Him through studying His Word and through living the way His Son taught us to live, the more His vision becomes my vision. The more His life becomes my life. My old way of thinking, my old way of living becomes like an empty shell that I cast off of myself as the new life within me emerges. The question on this Resurrection Day is not, do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? The question is, have you risen from the dead? Have you appropriated His power through faith in Jesus Christ? Have you made His resurrection your resurrection? Have you enabled yourself to receive that new creation that Paul says God gives to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ? This is the purpose of Resurrection Day. Not so that we can celebrate with candy and with ham dinner, but so that we can enter into a whole new life, a whole new outlook, a whole new perspective. It's this new life that is the key to the Christian gospel. It's the purpose for which Paul and the others offered their very lives in the hopes that there would be some people along the way who would believe the message and be transformed by the message and become their greatest testimony. How do we know that Jesus lives? We know through the lives that His resurrection has changed. We can be those whose lives demonstrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Simply through faith in Him, a belief that He is living in us and with us, and a trust in His strength, His guidance, and His power to help us look at each day in a different way, to help us see in each situation we find ourselves a purpose that God has for us. To know that God loves us so much that He sent His own Son to die for us. And then to know that that love was so strong it conquered death is to know that there is no situation in my life that God cannot transform. And so we ask God to make that same power visible in our lives, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We ask Him to transform us, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, to make us that new creation. Heavenly Father, we ask on this Resurrection Day that You would make our lives the testimony that leads others to faith in You. We ask that that new creation would begin and would grow strong within us and be unmistakable to those around us, that as they look at us, they would know there is something different about us, that they would seek us out and ask us, what is it that gives us the hope that enables us to live in such a dynamic way? We thank You that all of this is possible through the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we offer ourselves to You, for only You can make it happen in our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.